We are so blessed. I'm so blessed. I wish my wife was with me today. So blessed to be with you guys. And I just want to say a huge thank you, not only for your support in partnering with us in Europe, which I'll share with you in just a moment, a few highlights that are going on there. But I'm just so grateful, as I shared with the first service, that you guys do not abandon God's word or his presence. How many of you guys are grateful for that? Amen. I mean, it's so many things are being done to draw crowds today. It's funny to me, in the book of Acts, it was just the Holy Ghost. How many of you guys believe that? Amen. And just grateful to be in such a refreshing place. This has been so good for me today. And you guys have an amazing church family. Do you believe that? Amen. 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 So let me just say really quickly, thank you guys. My wife and I, we've been serving, our family's been serving in Belgium since 2002. It's been a blessed time, I got to tell you. I have no long-term desire to live in the States again. I'm American. I love America. Praise Jesus. But I'm in the place of my calling. Amen. And in fact, we're pursuing nationality there. And someday I'll die in Belgium. Not anytime soon, we hope. But I'm just grateful that God allows us to serve there. And we're grateful that you folks are sending us. A lot of people don't realize that missionaries in most countries, we're not allowed to work jobs in those countries. For us to have visas, we have to show that we have a sending church or a group of people that are financing us there because they don't want us taking jobs away. And people ask me often, why Belgium? Why Europe? Well, let me tell you folks, this is a recent statistic, just about a year and a half old. The Belgian government released a statistic on Easter Sunday 2018 that said that only 1.35% of the country, less than 2%, 1.35% of the country are Christian. Can you believe that? Egypt's 3.4%. There's more believers in Egypt percentage-wise than there is, that Muslim country, than there is in Belgium. So how many believe we need missionaries there? Amen? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And I want you folks to know the same Holy Spirit that's here this morning, he's in Belgium. Yeah. You guys believe that? Amen? And lives are changing every day. Let me show you what's going on. This is my beautiful family, and I like to say this is our new picture. This is only about a month old. I'm a little bigger. My kids are a little taller. My wife's more beautiful. So we have a prayer card out on the table out there. We'd love for you guys to take it just to pray for us. This church does amazing in supporting us, one of our top churches. We also have a sign up for our newsletter if you want to keep up with what's going on. Thank you guys so much. Let me show you what's going on. This is our church, our main campus in Brussels. In fact, when Alex was with us, I think she participated in some of the first meetings we had in my living room. We started a church in the living room today. That's the church. That picture's only a few weeks old. As you can see, we're packed all the way to the back of the building. I want you to stretch your hands right now and say, Fire Marshal, stay away in Jesus' name. Good, come on, just we're praying for a new facility and asking God to lead us that way. But we also have a North Campus. Look, I want you to see our North Campus. This is in Antwerp. Those of you that participate, I don't know if you guys do, into the Go offering, that helped us secure this building. It's going to be in my message today. I'll share with you a little bit about it. But we've only been there about 15, 16 months. And it's amazing what God's doing. We started with a handful of people. It was actually an existing church plant, and we came in and took over. And I want you guys to know in the last several months, God has tripled our congregation. 60% of that congregation are either new believers or they're not believers yet, right? It also serves as a coffee shop. And we'll share a little bit about that more in the message. Next slide, if you would, please. This is a young man by the name of Maldo Amadar. He and his wife, we were so blessed to do their marriage counseling and their wedding, but they started a church we dedicated a few months ago. He's gone through all of our training, gone through our mentoring, part of our mentoring, and they're doing a fantastic job in the center of Brussels. And we just believe in three things. Everybody say, make disciples, train leaders, and plant churches. Because we believe life-giving churches is the answer, amen? It's the greatest form of evangelism is church planting. It's the greatest place to make disciples, and it's the greatest place to train leaders. And so that's our passion. Next slide, if you would, please. We are sending some people out. This is a girl named Noemi. We've been a receiving country for years on missionaries coming. We're now sending missionaries out. Noemi has gone through all of our training through what we call Converge Week, as well as our Catalyst internship. She's also translated in our Bible school. She is now a full-time missionary in the country of Bulgaria, completely 100% funded by the Belgian church. We're sending missionaries out in Jesus' name. Next slide, if you would, please. This is a girl named Kathleen. God brought her in our life about a year ago, and she's so a Belgian girl, so passionate for Jesus. She gave up her teaching career to go to discipleship training school, where she's being prepared for what's next. How many of you guys are grateful God's not only winning people to Jesus, he's winning Belgians to Jesus who are willing to go out and share the gospel. Today she's in Japan. Now, this is a girl named Minna. Minna is one of our leaders in our church, came to me. She's in her 40s and came to me and said, God is calling me to missions. We said, pay off your debts. Let's get your kids through school. But she's now a short-term missionary in the Congo, hoping to become a full-time missionary in the next 2 years. God is sending his church. Amen? Yeah. Next slide, if you would, please. This is Eric. Eric, maybe he's watching today. Eric's a Belgian man who gave his life to Jesus recently. He's joined our worship team. He's also in our Bible school being trained and just went on a mission trip this summer. People are getting saved, loving Jesus, and they want to share it with other people. Amen? So this is what it's all about for us. We believe in reaching, teaching, and sending. Amen? Reaching, teaching, and sending. That's what we do. So bless you guys. Thank you so much for being a part of what we're doing. And how many guys would like to get in the Word with me today? All right? If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 19. We're going to read just verses 1 through 5. Now, Pastor said we have some flexibility today. He said as long as we're out by 4 o'clock, we're good. All right? So you might not make it to lunch, but dinner is a promise. You'll make it. No. Here's the good news for you. I preach every week with translation, so therefore my messages in English are always shorter because with translation we got to double it up, all right? So Luke chapter 19, a topic I think you're all going to feel right at home with, something that's probably going to speak into your current situation. I'm going to talk about frustration today, and I want you to say this with me. Everybody say adjustment required. How many of you guys know that often when we're dealing with frustration, the best way to get out of it is to make the adjustments? Is that right? I'm going to talk to you about that in just a moment. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 5. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was the chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. Everybody say short stature. It's an important part of the message. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste, hurry up, come down, for today I must stay at your house. Father, we ask you to speak to us today. Lord, I pray that we leave this place differently than the way that we came in. Lord, we ask you to bless the one holding the microphone. Lord, simply let him be your voice today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now do me a favor and high-five three people. Go ahead, high-five three people and say, Pastor Bill looks good today. Come on. All right. How many of you have children? Raise your hand. All right. How many have children that always want to drive your car? How many have children that love the fact that you pay the rent but they never clean anything? I want to talk about frustration. You know what I'm talking about. How many have ever been frustrated? Well, let me give you my definition of frustration. You can look with me up on the screen and tell me if this doesn't ring a bell for you. When your desire is greater than your circumstances. I want to say it again. When your desire is greater than your circumstances. You know, I would bet to say today that as we were in the midst of worship, perhaps some of you just really felt like God was speaking to you. How many of you guys have been in those moments that you know that he's speaking to you, and he speaks something specific to you, and you begin to pursue what you felt like he was saying, but suddenly your circumstances become a roadblock in you pursuing the promise that God gave you? Anybody there? Amen? Folks, I'll tell you what. When I was called to Belgium, it was the last thing that I wanted to do. I mean, Pastor, I'm going to tell you, my goal was to plant a church in Lake City, Florida. Anybody know where Lake City, Florida is at? All right, a few people. All right, now, one of my close friends eventually ended up planting a church there, and I'm glad I didn't because he's blowing the place up, all right? But my goal was to be on TBN. And this was back in the days when, you know, you had suits that had your initials embroidered on it. And rings that symbolified your church. Praise God, we're beyond all that today. That was my dream. So the idea of going to Belgium just was not in the mix for me. The idea of being a missionary just was not in the mix for me. But then I was convinced, in fact, I'll just be honest with you, manipulated to go visit. How many guys know God will manipulate you? Right? I mean, this guy kept bugging me in 2001, just kept bugging me, you got to come visit. Got to come visit. We need you over there. I went to visit him. Number one, I'd never been to Europe. Church said, we'll send you. Bless the Lord, all my soul. Amen. How many believe God's going to send your pastors to Hawaii again? Come on, folks. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And number two, just to get him off my back. Well, to this day, that guy's name is Bert Fagan. To this day, I call him a liar. The biggest manipulator on the planet. Because he knew I didn't want to go. But if I put my feet on the ground, God began to speak to us that this was our next assignment. Well, we left that place knowing God was sending us to Belgium. But suddenly we had circumstances. Circumstances that began to create frustration. Finances was a big circumstance. During the midst of that time, we conceived my second child, my son. Now, my wife told me there was no terms that she was going to be having a baby without her mama. Come on, all the mamas, wave at me. All right. Everybody say delay. Come on, folks. Everybody say delay. Delay. So we had these delays, but you see, a delay is not necessarily a denial. See, a delay is preparation. I'm going to say it again. A delay is preparation. And it was during that season that God just began to prepare us. You see, often we hit walls of frustration, and you have an option there. You have an option to allow your frustration to just completely help you dismiss the promise that you're pursuing. Or you can take frustration and realize that frustration's a gift from God. Because when you look at frustration, if you're smart, you'll stop and reevaluate your practices, reevaluate your circumstances, reevaluate what you're struggling with, and that reevaluation time is where God begins to line things up. How many of you guys understand what I'm saying? It's a gift. It's a gift from God to allow you to put things in order. You see, often in our prayer life, we pray against frustrations. We pray against obstacles. We pray against the things that are stopping us. However, few times is that prayer directed towards us. We always say, Lord, change the circumstances, instead of saying, Lord, change me. Come on, folks. You see, a delay is preparation. Frustration is evaluation. And there's two things that believers never want to do in their life. You know what that is? Everybody say change. Change. And conflict. Conflict. Change and conflict. But how many of you guys know if there's no change, there's no advancement? And there's never change without conflict. You see, if you want change, you have to confront. And what you don't confront, you endorse in your life. What you're not willing to face and challenge, you're giving it power in your life. But when you're willing to change and you're willing to confront, that creates new practices. But without new practices, you have no change. Without confrontation, there is no change. So then you live in a perpetual state of frustration. How many of you are frustrated right now? I know some of you are hitting your neighbor going, I don't know why I came to church today. This guy's just getting me frustrated. Imagine Zacchaeus, this text, this passage that we just read. How many of you grew up in Sunday school and you know the story? Right? There's some very specific things the Word of God says about Zacchaeus. First of all, he was a chief tax collector, which means, if you read a little further in the chapter, he wasn't liked very well. He was considered a very dishonest man. But he was also rich. And here's what I really love about the text. And when I say this, some of you will thank God that you're not in the Bible, okay? Because God describes him as a man of short stature. That'd be like Bill Schwartz being in the Bible. He's a big man. Come on, folks. We know that he's a man of short stature. He was wealthy. He was a tax collector and considered dishonest. But the most important thing that we see here is that he obviously wanted a change in his life. Amen. He heard that Jesus was coming. Jesus was coming, and I'm telling you, everywhere Jesus went, people came. You want to know why? Because he was a man of reputation. I mean, dead people, no problem. Just raise them up. Turn water into wine. Walk on water. Come on, folks. Amen. Fed thousands with limited resources. So he heard that Jesus was coming, and he wanted to see who Jesus was. And so did evidently a lot of other people. Because what prevented him from getting to the front of the line was the crowd of people and his short stature. So I want you to see this. His desire was to see Jesus, but his circumstances was a crowd and his short stature. Everybody say frustration. His desire was greater than his circumstances. And I think many of us can relate to that. Many of us can relate that there are obstacles in front of us that are preventing us from fulfilling the desires we feel like God has given us. But I want to give you four things that we can learn from Zacchaeus that will help you process these frustrating seasons that seem like it's creating a delay in your life. How many of you guys want those four things? All right, good deal. You guys ready? Look at your neighbor and say, get ready. Well, the first thing is this. When you're frustrated, you have to realize if you want something different, you have to do something different. Now, think about Zacchaeus. What did he do? Did he fight the crowd in front of him? Did he try to plow through them? No. He stepped back and he made an adjustment. What did he do? He climbed the sycamore tree. He climbed the sycamore tree. Now, if you're like me, in fact, we're dealing with a really serious legal situation in Belgium right now. And my boss has told me they poked the wrong bear. Because I'm the type of guy, I don't give up. I don't like no. You know, I'm going to keep coming at you until there's a yes, because I know the Lord said yes. So I don't care if you say no. That's not the report I'm going to believe. I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. You guys with me? Yeah. But we did have to be strategic in the way that we're dealing with the situation. You see, if you're like me, I just want to run into people. I played fullback in high school football. I played a little bit of running. I know that's shocking to some of you. I played running back as well. But instead of running from the tacklers, I just ran into them. I figured they're smaller than I am. Just plow your way through. But how many guys know that's not always the best way? You see, Zacchaeus could have pushed his way through that crowd. Sometimes we get so focused on the obstacle in front of us that we miss the thing that we're looking for. Right? You see, he could have plowed through that crowd, pushed people to the left, push people to the right. He could have got to the very front of the line. But how many believe that Jesus would have already passed by? And isn't that what happens with us? You see, if you want to get past frustration, step back. What adjustments do you need to make? Maybe it is plow through the crowd. But I guarantee you, most of the time, it's to do it differently. And that's exactly what Zacchaeus did. You see, maybe you're facing frustration today because you keep doing the same thing over and over again, getting the same results. You guys with me? Right? So that brings me to point number two. You have to evaluate your motives, because right motives are very important. You see, we can often justify spiritual activity, but often we're doing it with the wrong motive and the wrong desire. You know, often we come to God, and I had a situation. I was a high school basketball coach, and I had a pretty good career. And we had opportunities to coach in university. We had opportunities to advance in that career. And I can remember asking God, Lord, let me do this. Let me become a professional basketball coach. Let me, here's my dream, Lord. This is what I could do for you. Lord, imagine the influence that I could have. And isn't this what we do? We take our dreams to God and say, Lord, bless it. I got an idea. Instead of taking our dreams to God and asking him to ordain it, why don't we go to God empty-handed and say, Lord, what's your dream? Instead of asking God to be a part of our dream, why don't we say, Lord, how can I be a part of your dream? Because here's the reality, and I think this statement is going to change somebody's life here today. God has never called you to be successful. He's called you to be obedient. I want to say it one more time. God has never called you to be successful. He's called you to be obedient. You see, the difference is success, we determine what that is. We determine success by the people we know, by how many people we gather, and by how much money comes in. Let's just be honest. But that's the world's standard. When we say, God, I'll be obedient to what you're asking me to do, he determines the success. Amen? I want you to think about this. Ananias, Acts chapter 9. We hear about him twice. Acts chapter 9 and then at the very end of Acts. But at the very end of Acts, it's referring to what happened in Acts chapter 9. Ananias is the one who was called to go pray for Paul. Right? How many of you guys remember that story? He even argued with God. I know this man. Everyone knows this man. You're like, he's going to inform God. Do you know what he's done? God said, go, for he's my chosen vessel. Now watch this. He went and prayed for Paul. The scales fell from his eyes. His life was different the rest of his life. And our lives are different because of his life. But what if Ananias said no? We never hear about him again. But he has just as significant in our lives today as Paul was. Out of his obedience, Paul was able to step into his future. How many guys understand what I'm saying? We have to have the right motives. Let me ask you a question. Zacchaeus, when he climbed that tree, was it to elevate himself? When he climbed that tree, was it so that Jesus could see him? No, he climbed that tree so that he could see Jesus. Everybody say right motives. And when he was willing to adjust and his motives was right, that's when Jesus saw him. Oh, you guys need to hear that. When you're willing to adjust and your motive is correct, that's when Jesus is going to take notice. Amen? Zacchaeus, I'm going to your house today. See, maybe some of us are facing frustration because we're not being honest with our motivations. How many believe that's important? Now, point number three, and I'm going to spend a moment on this. Point number three, don't allow your circumstances to determine your pursuit. I'm going to say it again. Don't allow your circumstances to determine your pursuit. Think about Zacchaeus here. Zacchaeus had money, wasn't very popular for, you know, good reason, but he had money. He had substance, he had a profession. And yet when he went to go see who Jesus was, there was this obstacle, frustration in front of him. He could have easily said, forget it, I'm going to go back. He could have easily said, it's not that important, I'm going to go back. He could have easily given up. You know, the Romans 8:28 says this. It says that all things work together for our good. To those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Everybody say all things. It doesn't say some things. It says all things. All things. You see, here's the reality, folks. In our life, we have a choice. You could either make things an excuse or a testimony. An excuse says, I can't do it because this is my circumstances. A testimony says, I faced some big circumstances, but I was persistent and God brought the victory. Amen. All things work together for good. How many of you guys realize that? You see, your pursuit is important. And my Bible tells me that when we pursue him, he doesn't leave us empty-handed. How many of you guys believe that? When I face obstacles, I have to remind myself, if God is for me, who can be against me? I have to remind myself, I can do all things through Christ. By the way, that passage that we quote so often, Paul was in a pretty difficult situation in his life when he said that. You know what the context of that is? Whatever God requires you to go through, he's going to give you the strength to get through it. How many guys are with me? Amen? So let me tell you my frustration. The city of Antwerp, second largest city in Belgium, the most secular city in Northwest Europe. We have had a dream for over a decade to plant a church in that city. And we had a connect group, a small house group that was meeting there because we start in houses. But another denomination planted a coffee shop. And they had a small group gathering of people that were meeting there. And they weren't making their budget. In fact, the missionary was having to pay for most of it out of his own pocket. And his denomination said, look, it's time for you to come on furlough. Just close the church. They even recommended going to the Baptist church in town and see if they wanted it. Broke the missionary's heart. So the missionary came to us and said, would you be interested in taking over the church? And I'm going to tell you, folks, I just simply said, no. How many of you guys know what that means? No. Let me tell you why. Well, he just told me that they weren't paying their own bills, that the missionary had to pay it out of pocket. Well, our church didn't have the money. I wasn't going to take it out of my budget. I take a lot of things out of my budget. Everybody see circumstances. The other thing was I really didn't want to send my parts of my team over there. You know, kind of wanted to keep them to ourselves. And I knew that our team wasn't going to be cool with the idea. I'll explain that in just a few moments. But that night, my regional director, the guy that's like my boss, called me up. We talked about another situation. I said, man, you won't believe it. This other denomination came to me. They have a coffee shop that is a church plant in the city of Antwerp. And they asked us to take it over. And I said, absolutely not. And that voice came over the phone. That voice that was posing a question, but you knew it was a command. He said, Bill, I think you need to call that guy back and have a conversation. He said, I wouldn't be giving up on that idea. He reminded me that our vision 10 years ago was to plant a coffee shop in Antwerp, and that would become the church planting mechanism for that city. And I could tell by the way he was saying it, this wasn't a choice. This is what you're going to do, even though he posed it like it was a choice. How many of you guys know those people? So 2 weeks later, we had a meeting, and my regional director came over, and I just started to hear God speak to me. I just started to hear him just plant the seed of possibility. But we brought it to our team, and we have this rule in our team that we try to flow in unity. If we don't agree, we don't move forward. And none of them were on board, including my wife. Now, folks, my wife's Holy Spirit Junior. How many of you guys understand what I'm saying? But I knew that God was saying something. I was facing frustration. The circumstances said no, but God said yes. So which one are you going to follow, the circumstances or God? So I finally said, listen, can we at least offer to work with that church plant for 2 months? And at the end of 2 months, we'll let them know what we'll do. We came in unity on that. We agreed with that. Folks, let me tell you, 6 of those 9 weeks, I saw the greatest miracle ever happen. In our ministry. Let me tell you what happened. Within a week of that decision, a pastor from Florida called me. And here's what he said. He said, Bill, what's going on? I said, well, you know, great things. We're thinking about opening a coffee shop up and planting a church. There's already a small group there. Coffee shop. Man, I want to be a part of that. I'm going to send you $5,000. He called me. I mean, usually when I call people, they're like, yeah, I got to go because, you know, missionary money, you know. He called me. Well, I started to feel a little bit of unity in my spirit. Come on, folks. So I met with one of the leaders of that church plant. I've known him for 30 years. I said, Tom, so just tell me, what do you think if we take over? And he said, Bill, look, I think my denomination's missing it. I think we should keep it. But here's the reality. I believe this is God. He says, I believe so much it's God, I'm going to give you 1,000 euros. 1,000 euros is $1,110. I now have over $6,000, and I'm not even trying. So there's this thing called an Antioch grant that comes from the Go offering, and we got an email that said, if you have a project, let us know. So I applied for that, and I honestly wasn't sure if we were going to get it. And I get a text message one day. It says, congratulations, you just got $20,000 for your church plants. It gets better. I now have over $26,000. But the very next week, I get a phone call from Coffee House Ministries in Oklahoma. And they said, listen, the Cornerstone Conference, the network of churches in Western Carolina, they're taking up an offering, and they want to support a coffee shop. You're the newest one. So they're going to give you all the offering. A month later, I get a check for $5,600. Folks, I'm about to run in here. I'm telling you right now. I would just get out of the way. It doesn't stop there. This little church in South Carolina sends me a message on Facebook, and she says, "Hey, Brother Bill, we want to help you out. Do you have a church plant?" I said, "Well, our newest one's in Antwerp, and you know, I already got some money." And they said, "What do you need?" I said, "Well, I didn't know what to say. This is all over Facebook Messenger." I'm like, "Well, we could upgrade the sound system." And she's like, "Well, how much money do you need?" I have no idea. I'm like, $1,500. She says, "Okay, we're sending you a check." I said, did I say one? I meant 4,000. Come on, folks. Now, here's what I want you to know. We almost gave up on the pursuit. We almost said no to God's opportunity. But in 6 weeks, God provided $33,000. When it's His will, it's His bill. It's His purpose. But we almost said no. Zacchaeus could have given up on his pursuit. But he decided to do it differently. He had the right motives. And he continued pursuing. Now, here's what I want you to know, folks. I am about to run now. Listen to me. That church building is a coffee shop. You saw the pictures. That place is packing out every week. 60% of the people are either new believers or they've never known Jesus. They're coming to that coffee shop to hear the gospel. We're two blocks away from the red light district. Prostitution is legal in our country. Two blocks away. For 25 years, that building was used as a sex shop. But we took it back in Jesus' name. We're proclaiming the gospel. God is good. His dream is better than your dream. You have to pursue it. Woo! Where's the B3 when you need it, guys? Come on. I wonder what you have been pursuing but gave up because of the circumstances. I'm here to tell you, there's missionaries in this room today. There's future pastors in this room today. There's business owners, doctors, school teachers. There's a family waiting to be birthed out of this room today. But you can't allow the circumstances to determine your pursuit. Frustration is a gift to help you reevaluate. Your delay is not denial, it's preparation. How many guys are with me today? And that brings me to point number four, the final point. You can't allow the opinions of other people to determine your pursuit. Folks, I'm going to tell you, when I made the announcement that we were going into missions full time, I mean, nobody was for it. We had some pastors saying, "Go for it," but our family, they were concerned for grandkids. They, you know, nobody was celebrating the fact that we're going to pack up and move to another country. And there were times in that season that I began to say, "God, you're not moving fast enough for me." How many guys know that God really is never late? But how many wish He would be early sometimes? Come on. There were times that I begin to listen to those voices. And I've learned something. I just turned 48 years old a few weeks back. And here's what I've learned in my years following Jesus. If you allow other people to determine the size of your world, if you allow other people to build your world, they'll build it too small every time. Amen? Because here's the reality. God will never put you in a season that He's not necessary. God will never put you in a season that you don't have to depend on Him. So He's going to ask you to do the impossible. He's going to ask you to sacrifice. It's going to require obedience. But He is the voice that you need to hear. Now I'm going to balance this. Everybody say balance. If everyone's against you, take a listen. Because here's what I've learned. Those that have the most influence are often the ones we want to listen to. But they also look at circumstances. Thankfully, God put some people in my life that said, you can do it. You can do it. Amen? This is totally for free. This is something I teach in leadership sessions, but I'm going to help you determine the will of God today. You guys ready? Because there's three things that we teach leaders. It's not hard to know the will of God. First of all, evaluate your desire. Because if you're Matthew 6:33 and you're seeking the kingdom of God first, then the chances are the desire you have was put there from him. Number two, evaluate your giftings. Because he has gifted you, he'll use your gifts for him. How many of you guys believe that? Yes, and number three, what do spiritual leaders see in your life? What are they recognizing in your life? And that's exactly what happened to us. Spiritual leaders begin to say, Bill, this is God. Go for it. You see, you have a choice. You can listen to the right voices or the wrong voices. And I'm here to tell you, folks, when God asks you to make a major life move, you obviously can't, you're never going to be able to do it yourself. He's going to be required. So don't allow the naysayers to build your world. You see, Zacchaeus, once Jesus said, let me come to your house, the naysayers begin to speak up and go, Jesus, this guy's a thief. You're going to his house? Naysayers. How many have a few of those in your life? Right? Are they sitting next to you? Don't tell me. But Zacchaeus, he even said, you know what, Jesus, they're right. Whatever I've taken, I'll pay it back. His life was changed that day because he decided to make an adjustment. He decided to have the right motives. He didn't allow his circumstances to determine his pursuit. And he didn't allow the negative voices of others to stop him from following Jesus. And I wonder what you're facing today. I wonder how many of you are here today and you're saying, you know what? I've tried living for Jesus. It just never works out. Maybe you need to do something different. Maybe you need to check your motives. Maybe look at those circumstances and realize God's bigger than those. Keep pushing on and stop listening to those negative voices in your life. I wonder how many of you love Jesus, but you have a dream that you know that God has given you. You have a dream that has been a seed planted by him, but you gave up because of circumstances. You see, I believe God brought this big preacher here today to challenge you. You know, my Bible tells me that there's one who came to give life and to give it to us more abundantly. Amen? And he's come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly today. I want to pray for two groups of people. We're almost done, guys. How many of you guys have 5 minutes for me? All right. Look, there's at least like an hour of 5 minutes out there. You guys ready? 5, 10, 15. I want to pray for those of you that you know this very moment that you're not living for Jesus. Maybe in the past you've given your life to him, but circumstances have come. In fact, I just believe, and not because I feel like God's speaking to me, but I just believe because of the size of the crowd today, that there's people here, you didn't even want to come this morning. But you see, God brought you here. At last moment, you decided to come. You want to know why? Because I believe that God wanted to divinely disrupt the place that you're at in your life today. And perhaps you're here and you're saying, I've allowed the circumstances and the voices of my past to discourage me and walk away from the Lord. And I would even say there's people here that you've never even given your life to Jesus. But there's something here that you're sensing. See, the Bible tells us that there's only one way to eternal life. There's only one way to a good life here on earth. The Bible says that Jesus spoke these words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He's the only way. That's the reality. And there's hundreds of people in this place that know that to be true because they received it, they accepted it, and their lives have been changed forever. He brought you here today. to hear that message. So here's what Paul said. Paul the Apostle said that when I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, then we'll be saved. You see, often we say, well, we'll fix our lives and then we'll come to Jesus. You can't fix it without him. All you have to do to start the journey is to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And I'm going to ask you today just to close your eyes where you're at, because I want this moment to be between you and God. If you're here today and you'd say, preacher, I've given my life to Jesus in days past, but I'm not living for him today. Or maybe you would say, you know what, I've heard about Jesus, but I've never given my life to him. But today I'm convinced he's the only way. If that's you this morning, and you would say, I'm sick and tired of living on my own. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Today, I truly believe that Jesus is the only way. I want to ask you, would you be willing to accept him, receive him, live for him today? If that's you, and you're ready to confess with your mouth because you believe in your heart that Jesus is the only way, I'm going to count to three, and I just want you to lift your hand. And by lifting your hand, you're telling me, I want to give my life to Jesus today. Are you ready? One, two, three. If that's you, thank you. Thank you so much. Two hands have been lifted. Anybody else? It's three hands have been lifted. Thank you so much. Anybody else that say, that's me, I want to give my life to Jesus. Three people have responded. Anyone else say, that's me? Thank you. Four people have responded. Anybody else? Five people, six people have responded. Anybody else that say, that's me today? Seven people have responded. Anybody else? That's me. That's me. I want everybody in this room, say this prayer with me and say it out loud. Everybody say, Jesus, I'm nothing without you. But I believe today that you are the way, you are the truth, you are the life. Today, I confess with my mouth, because I believe in my heart, that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus, I give you my life. Take it. Use it for your purpose. Today, I surrender all in Jesus' mighty name. Seven people responded today. Let's give the Lord a hand for that. Amen. Now, just another moment, please. I want to talk from this side all the way over here to the seven people that raised their hand. I'm going to give you a challenge today, because here's what the Bible tells me. If we're ashamed to confess God before men, if we're ashamed to stand up and say, I love Jesus, the Bible says that he'll be ashamed of us when we stand before the Father. So I'm going to ask you to do something so bold today. I'm not going to call you up here, I promise, but I am going to ask you to be bold today. If you raised your hand and said, that's me, I prayed that prayer, I gave my life to Jesus, I'm going to count to three one more time, but this time, everybody's head's going to be up, their eyes are going to be open. I just want you to stand right where you're at. Let me tell you how important this is. This is what I call the eviction notice. When you stand up, you see, there's a spiritual battle that's going on. And when you stand up, you're telling the enemy, you're telling hell and all of its demons, I no longer belong to you. I'm a child of the King. That I'm unashamed. So if you raised your hand and prayed that prayer today, be unashamed. I want you to stand up as quick as you can and as bold as you can. You guys ready? One, two, three. Don't even think about it. Just stand up. Stand up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Just stretch your hands to these people. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for touching their lives and touching their hearts and believing in bringing them to this place today. And Father, we thank you for your life-changing presence. Lord, we thank you that there might be circumstances, but they're still going to pursue. So, Lord, we ask you to hold them, surround them with Holy Ghost believers that will help them walk this journey. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stay standing for a moment. Listen to me. I want to talk to all of you. And just the rest of you, just give me a moment. There's three things I like to tell people when they make the decision you made. When you walk out these doors, you might hear this voice in your head that says this wasn't real. But I'm here to tell you it is. You see, there's a spiritual battle going on. And we don't fight against flesh and blood alone. And that presence, that spiritual presence is going to try to convince you this isn't real. But it is. He is the life changer. He is the way maker. How many of you guys believe that today? Amen. Number two, you got to go tell somebody, the closest people in your life, tell them, call them on the phone. I gave my life to Jesus today. I'm going to be a different person. You let them know, put them on notice. You're going to see different behavior. How many of you guys believe that today? And number three, you cannot do the journey alone. You got to get into a life-giving, Bible-believing, Spirit-filled church. And I just want you to know you're at one of the best right now. This is a great place to plug in. So bless you guys. Bless you, bless you, bless you. The rest of you, stand up with him today. Come on, stand up with him today. How many of you would say, preacher, I love Jesus, but I've been living in a perpetual cycle of frustration. But today I've got to make some changes. If that's you today, just kind of wave at me. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray for the courage to do something different. I pray that you check and evaluate motives. And Lord, I pray, Father, Lord, that they will not allow their circumstances to determine their pursuit after you. And Father, don't allow other people to build their world. Surround them, Father. Surround them with people of faith that say that you can do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Has it been a good day? Has it been a good day? Come on, give the Lord a hand.
Hey guys, thanks so much for watching or listening to our podcast. I'm so honored that you tuned in, and I pray the sermon was a great blessing to you. I don't know where you are right now in life, but I know one thing: God loves you and he has a plan for your life. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, how about praying this prayer with me, opening up your heart and inviting the Lord to come in? Come on, just a simple prayer. The Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you one of those whosoevers? If so, open up your heart right now and just pray with me. Just say, Father in heaven, I accept Jesus Christ into my life. Forgive me of all my sin and give me a new start today. In Jesus' name I pray, and you can say amen where you are. Please join us online for more information. We hope you come back and visit us, and we love you dearly, and go follow God and go into the destiny that he has for your life.